All right, if we'd have sang that about 100 times in a row, I wouldn't have to get up and say anything this morning, because that's all I'm trying to say today. Well, I am glad that you are here today, because the Lord deserves our attention and our presence. God is good, and it is very encouraging to me that you are here. It is encouraging to know we're in this together. We're in this together. We have a shared purpose and a shared hope. We have shared struggles. We have shared experiences. But God has made us one heart, one mind, and one soul. So we get to be together. Let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. We recognize that you are the Lord, the one and only true God who made everything that we see, that provided your Son to die for all of the sins that we have committed. You are the Lord that dwells in the church, in our hearts, in our lives, directing our steps, helping us, Father, as we are made complete by the sacrifice of Jesus, and as we are becoming complete in giving our lives to you in obedience and righteousness. Father, we praise your name. You are the only one worthy of our glory, our worship, and our praise. We pray, Lord, today as we look at the Scriptures, that we will be encouraged, that we will remember every single day not to fear, because you are the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we do not do so well when someone tells us not to do something. We don't like to hear the word no. Someone says, hey, don't do that. Something deep inside of us just kind of, we won't even think it through if it's a warning for our own good or for our own safety or just given to us in wisdom. Someone says, hey, don't do that. Who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? And, you know, just in case you think you're immune to this, we're going to try a little experiment, okay? I'm going to show you how powerful this is. I want each and every one of you to not do something. You ready? Do not, and I'm serious, do not think about an elephant. Do not, whatever you do, picture an elephant in your brain right now. You can picture a giraffe. You can picture a snake. You can picture a monkey. You can picture anything. You can picture your dog at home. Do not picture an elephant. Don't do it. Don't think about those thick gray legs. Do not think about that trunk and those big floppy ears. Do not picture an elephant. Anybody picture an elephant? See, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, from the very beginning of the story that we have, God told Adam and Eve, do not eat from that tree. Do not do it. I've given you everything else. I've given you everything you need. I've put you in a perfect situation. And I need you to trust me in this one thing. Because this one thing, it's not for you. Don't do it. Being told not to do something sometimes is very difficult for us. And sometimes, we just don't have the ability to follow through, right? I mean, we literally just don't have the skills or the ability to follow through. sometimes we believe that we're immune to circumstances, right? Sometimes we think that we're immune to circumstances. Nah, nothing bad will happen. Sometimes we don't just trust, we don't trust the authority of the one that said it. Nah, I know better. I'll do it anyway. Sometimes we may not want to change. Do not do this. I'm fine. I can do it. I'll give you some examples. You may relate to some. You may understand some. It might be funny to you. It might just make you mad. But here's a couple examples I thought of. Someone telling you not to do something. Hey, it's been long enough. Don't be sad. Right? Don't tell me how to feel. You can't tell me how to feel. I'm going to feel what I feel. I can't even tell me how to feel, so you definitely can't tell me how to feel. Hey, don't pet that dog. That dog will bite your hand. Oh, God. I'm like Caesar Milan over here, okay? I'm the dog whisperer. I'm good with dogs. That dog's not going to bite me. Oh, well. Here, puppy. That dog's crazy. Sometimes we just think we're immune to circumstances, right? Or not circumstances. Consequences. Someone says, don't do that. It won't hurt me. I can handle it. Here's another one. Now, and no one in here can relate to this example. I thought it was a good one. Don't be dumb. I mean, honestly, sometimes we just don't have the ability not to obey, right? Hey, that's probably not a good person to have in your life. I'm seeing or hearing some things that that's probably not someone you want to let in. Or, you know, quite simple, you're not dating them. Ho, 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 ho. Want to bet? We've been there, right? We've all been there and been told not to do something. And for whatever reason, we just decided, no, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. So I already mentioned to you the original one. God said, don't eat from that tree. And Adam and Eve said, "Yeah, we'll listen to the other voice. We'll listen to someone else because, you know, serpent seems harmless enough. Forget that God gave us everything that we have. This guy shows up, so we should probably listen to him instead." Do you remember how Jesus describes the enemy? The enemy came to what? The enemy came to what? You remember? The enemy came to steal what you have, to kill you and destroy you. And yet he shows up with a pretty little plan and we go, well, that sounds reasonable. I should ignore my Father in heaven for what he says. Maybe we are dumb sometimes. Maybe it is. Leviticus chapter 18, listen to what God says. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. All right, so God shows up. Hey, here's what I need you to tell them. You remember where I got them? You're not going to look like that. You know where I'm taking them? You are not going to look like that. He says, I am the Lord your God, and I'm telling you, that was not what it's supposed to be. And that is not what it's supposed to be. And then he comes along with a promise. Verse 4. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. God tells us what to do for our own good. Because the question just comes to each and every one of us. Do we trust God enough to direct our lives? Have we gotten ourselves in enough trouble to say, I'm not real good at this. If only there was someone, I don't know, some authority that knew better, that was more powerful, that knows everything, that I could trust enough that when they say, hey, this is what you should do and this is what you should not do, that I would listen to them and have a good life. God says to him, I am the Lord your God. I know what's best. I know what's best. And if you do what I say, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But we fight it, don't we? We fight it. God says, hey, you shouldn't do that. Oh, yeah, but, you know, and again, whatever excuse or reason that we find, I'm immune to consequences. Oh, I'm just weak, Lord. I'm just weak. I can't do what you tell me to do. I can't avoid what you tell me to avoid. Church, we have to listen to the simple words of, I am the Lord your God. Don't do those things. We're going to be in Acts chapter 18 today. And we hear God speak to Paul in Acts chapter 18. Hasn't been any words in red since the 10th chapter when he shows up for Peter. When he shows him the animals and the sheep. He says, get up, Peter. Kill an animal and eat it. And has that discussion about what is clean and what is not clean. And here we get some words in red for the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18 and God's message to Paul. God's message to Paul. You've probably already found the words and skipped ahead. It's okay. We'll catch up. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So let's put it in some context. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. I'm innocent. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul, brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to this. All right, so Acts chapter 18 tells us that Paul makes his way to Corinth, and he spends at least 18 months there. Like next week when we get into the next verse, it says, hey, he stayed there a little bit longer. So he's there for over a year, which, you know your Bible, you know that 1st and 2nd Corinthians are kind of long. He deals with a lot of issues going on with those believers there in that town. He knows them very well. He spent a lot of time with them. Also in Corinth, he meets Aquila and Priscilla. And so they become important for him, not only for him to be able to make a living and to work with them, but they become important to his ministry with them. And so he's there every day, and he is reasoning with the Jews, and he's reasoning with the Gentiles. And again, some of the Jews just oppose him. "No, that's not right. That's not true." And Paul's faced this before. In fact, the last chapter, we saw Paul get chased out of town, right? I mean, they're following him, going, "Don't listen to this guy. He's had people throw him in jail because he cast a demon out of a little girl. He's been stoned." I forget some of us were talking about what that would have been like last week for him just to get up from that. Who was that? Sonny, was that us? Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about, just Paul just hopping up after being stoned to death. He's been stoned. He's been thrown in jail. People have opposed him. They're chasing him down. God is with him. He trusts the Lord, but he just gets to that point here in Corinth, and he just looks at him, and he's just like, "I'm done with you. I'm done with you." Okay? Now, of course, on our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been looking at the relationship between Jewish and Gentile believers and what Paul writes in the book of Romans of just going, "Oh, I want so much that they would come to faith. I want it so bad for them, but I can't do it for them. They have to have faith." And he has a heart for his own people because Paul is a Jew. But here, he's just had enough. He's fed up. He's fed up, and he just goes, I'm done. You're on your own. I can only do so much, and I've done all I can do. And you're going to sit here, and you're going to deny, and you're going to sit. You're not even opening your Bible. You're not even looking at the Scriptures. The Scriptures are pretty clear. That Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Everything that Terry read for us this morning in the Lord's Supper. He goes, there it is. It's right there. Isaiah said it. And we've all seen it. The witnesses are here. This happened. This is real. And he's fed up. He's fed up. So he says, "You know what? You people just prove yourself to not listen to anything. So I'm done. I'll just go talk to the Gentiles. They're a better audience. They're excited. They're excited. I tell them they get to be God's people. And they're like, what, us? We get to be God's people? What do I got to do? Just tell me. How do I be God's people? We want to be God's people. That's awesome." And yet God's people are like, no. We don't even want to be God's people. And we definitely don't want them to be God's people. You ever met a Christian like that? They weren't going to tell anybody else about Jesus, but boy, they didn't live their life like they knew Jesus. That's not a happy place to be. That's a miserable place to be. So, a little bit of hope here in verse 8. Paul's washing his hands of them, and in verse 8, who believes in the Lord Jesus? Yeah. The ruler of synagogue, making him a... Thank you. Let's make sure we're awake. The ruler of the synagogue believes in Jesus. I mean, and have you ever had God do that for you? Where you say, Lord, I'm done. I just can't handle it anymore. And then the very next minute or very next day, he just goes, ta-da! And he just provides or takes care of you. Just at the moment where you just, I'm at the end of my rope. And the Lord's on the other end of the rope going, well, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you to be at the end of your rope because your rope is not very good. So now that you finally just confess to me that I quit, I can't do it anymore. The Lord says, oh, good. Now I can do it for you. Yeah, that's happened to me before. It's always embarrassing. It's always humbling when the Lord shows up and says, yeah, I got this. And we say, oh, oh. That's kind of where I see Paul. Paul's frustrated. He's fed up. He's gone through all of these difficulties. And he just says, I can't do it anymore. And the leader of the synagogue goes, I want to be a Christian. What do I got to do? What? What? Yeah. Yeah, that's a face palm. That's a palm. Face palm. Yep. So, Crispus believes, and many of the Corinthians, they believed, and they're baptized. And Paul needs a word of encouragement. Paul needs a word of encouragement, so God breaks into his dream. And he's asleep, and God says those three words that all of us have to hear, that all of us need to hear. Sorry. Anybody else count for me? Thank you. It's the only thing some people are going to walk away from this morning. Michael doesn't know how to count. I can ignore the rest of it because he got his numbers wrong. Yeah. Well, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Paul, do not be afraid. But go on speaking. Do not be silent. But Lord, they don't even appreciate it. I mean, it's not like I don't believe anymore. It's not like I don't believe that you can change lives or affect lives. But they don't appreciate it. They don't deserve it. And you and I have been there. And right now our toes are a little scrunched, and our ears are burning a little bit because we've been there. Not them. Not this scumbag. I'm not telling them about Jesus. They don't deserve to hear about my Lord. Do not be afraid. Paul, you keep on talking. You keep on talking. You do not let the opposition shut your mouth. You cannot do that. You keep telling them about Jesus because they need to know about Jesus. And Jesus himself told us, look, some people are going to believe. Some people it's going to change their lives forever, for all eternity. And you know what? Some people are going to kind of believe. And they're going to go, yeah, okay, for a little bit. And then they're going to let go. Some people are going to get really excited and go, wow, this Jesus is awesome. And then, yeah, just kind of fizzle out. And some people are just going to go, no, not having it, not doing it, not believing it. Jesus prepared us for this. He prepared Paul for this. Paul knows the Gospels. Do not be afraid. You keep on speaking. You keep on speaking. You do not be silent. Why? Verse 10, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. Now, has anyone attacked Paul in Corinth? No. Has he been attacked before? Yes. I mean, I get thrown in jail, and I get big rocks thrown at me to the point to where everyone thinks I'm dead. I'm probably a little tired. probably a little worn out. My patience for others is probably worn a little thin. And if I start looking at the people who treat me bad, then you know what I start doing? Closing my mouth. If I start focusing on the people that need to hear about Jesus, or I start thinking about all the ways in which I've been treated poorly or ignored or laughed at or made fun of or ostracized from, then I am tempted to just keep it to myself because me and Jesus are good. And who cares about these people anyway? I'm washing my hands. I'm innocent, Lord. Really? How are you innocent? Well, the last time they insulted me when they were walking away, I said, "Whew, boy, somebody needs Jesus. I did my part." Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. And then he gives Paul his Elijah moment. I have many in this city who are my people. Remember we talked about Elijah? Remember after the Mount Carmel thing? And he goes to God and says, "I'm done. I got nothing left. I'm all alone. I'm the only one being faithful." And God's like, "Yeah, no. You're not the only one. But the enemy wants us to believe we're the only one, right? I'm the only one being faithful. I'm the only one that talks about Jesus. I'm the only one in my friend group that is willing to share his faith. I'm the only one at my work who, woohoo, is not a godless heathen. It's just me. And we tend to put that on ourselves. And we forget that God always has others. Now, the Jews, oh boy. The religious Jews, okay, not as a people, not as a nation, not as a country. The ones here in Acts, in fact, the ones long ago in Corinth. They take Paul to the Romans, and the Romans go, "No, this is a you thing, okay? This is not an us thing. You deal with it." In fact, he kicks them out, right? He's like, "I'm not listening to this. Go take care of it." So Paul is spared, and what is their reaction? This one kills me. They don't do anything to Paul, do they? No. Is Paul protected? Is Paul hurt? No, no. Just like God said, "You keep talking, I'll take care of you." In fact, I love it that it tells us before Paul could even make a defense, before he could say a word in his own defense, he doesn't have to, right? He doesn't have to. He goes, "I'm not listening to this. You guys get out of here." And so they're so darkened. They grab the new synagogue leader and they stand right in front of the Roman building and start beating that guy up. "Well, we can't get Paul, so we'll beat him up." Church, you got to know this going in. Some people are nasty. All right? I'm not talking about Christians. I'm talking about some people in the world. They're nasty. They're going to mistreat you. And if they can't hurt you, guess what? They might hurt somebody else. Some people just got a lot of hurt inside of them. You ever heard that saying? Hurt people hurt people? Yeah. There's just some nastiness in some people. Right? But remember, you and I have to look at people the way Jesus looks at people. Because you and I are tempted to look at the nastiness that people do and go, "Oh, those people are nasty." Instead of realizing that our fight is not against flesh and blood. My fight is not against that nasty person that is under the control of the king of nasty. My fight is against the rulers. My fight is against principalities. This fight is serious. This fight is serious. And I can't be afraid, which again is probably why Paul would write about the spiritual armor that we have, because too often we go into battle without putting our armor on. So of course we're going to get hurt. Of course we're going to get scared. Of course we're going to get worn out. Of course we're going to just lay down our weapons and go, "Yeah, I'm not fighting anymore. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll worship, but I can't confront. I don't have it in me. I can't say anything. I can't talk about Jesus. I'm going to live. I think somewhere in the Bible it says that as long as it's up to me, I'm just going to be at peace with everyone. And the best way I know to be at peace with everyone is to keep my mouth shut and not say a thing. I don't offend anybody. I don't step on any toes. I'm at peace with everybody. You know what? I got this Bible thing down pretty good. We can do lots of things, right? That took me about, 15 seconds to justify my unwillingness to tell other people about Jesus. That was easy. That was easy. I'm doing it all to live a quiet, peaceful life. Chester read for us in Matthew chapter 10. Let's turn over there for a second. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, 26, Jesus says here, have no fear of them. Have no fear of them. Why? He's already told them, look, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Okay? You see how they're treating me. You see how they're treating me. Jesus says, look, I'm the best there is. And look how they're treating me. You're just trying to be like me. You pale in comparison. How do you think the world's going to treat you? Which again, later, Paul would write in his letters, hey, if I'm mistreated for the sake of Christ, you know what that means? Do you really know what that means? I mean, how can you praise God when you're getting beat up for your faith? Well, Paul tells us. This is awesome. The world saw enough of Jesus in me to connect me to him. And they treated me like they treat him. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. I'll take that. I'll take that. Didn't feel too good, but you know what? I'll take it. I'm doing something right. I'm doing something like Jesus. And somebody else saw it. And somebody else didn't like it. That's okay. But I cannot stop talking about it. Because somebody may believe. Somebody may be saved. Somebody may be rescued from those powers that I'm really in the fight with. So I can't be afraid. I can't be afraid. And Jesus here, he says, hey, have no fear of them. Have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. All right, so I hope you find a lot of comfort in that. If that scares you to death, you may want to rethink some things. Jesus promises and assures us we have nothing to fear of anyone else. Why? Because in the end, it's all coming out. Now, what does that say to me? Hey, guess what? If I tell people about Jesus and they say, you're crazy, or you are uneducated, or you believe that fairy tale, or you're silly, or whatever they can say about me, guess what? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is going to appear for everyone to see. He's hidden now, but he will be revealed. And when he's revealed, you're going to learn today. Do I trust him now or not? Because he calls me to trust him now, even when I can't see him. And Jesus tells them, it's all going to pan out. It's all going to be revealed to them. And then he tells them, hey, you don't be afraid of people that all they got, the worst they can do. I mean, really, the worst they can do is kill you. That's all they got. No, seriously, all they can do is kill you. That's it. You're not afraid of people that can kill you. What are you talking about? I'm gonna confess something to you, church. Okay, I'm just gonna give this to you because this one bothered me. This one bothered me. So I had a fear Wednesday night. Not many of you are aware of it. Kind of light crowd Wednesday. We're in the middle of our prayer. The doors are open in the back, and Chester walked in late. Nobody's in the foyer, and everybody's looking this way except for me, and I'm leading the prayer. And I hear the footsteps. I hear the doors, and I hear the footsteps. And something inside of me went, You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'll be honest with you. That's the first time at sunrise I looked up several times while saying a prayer. And I told Chester after, because he was dirty, because he stopped over here and he wouldn't just walk in the doorway so I could just in the middle of my prayer, oh good, it's just Chester. All right, and keep on praying and focusing on the Lord. I was afraid. You know why I was afraid. I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging on myself. I was ashamed of it. I was ashamed of it because I should absolutely be ready for whatever those footsteps might bring here or anywhere else. Because all they can do is kill me. And I'm not supposed to be afraid of the ones that all they have is ending this life. Jesus told me not to be afraid. Do not be afraid of those that all they have is can kill you. Now, I don't mean to make this a commercial for Wednesday night services, but I would appreciate a few bodies between the door and myself on a Wednesday night. I'm just saying. All right? He says, you're afraid of the one that can get you after that. You're afraid of the one that can get you after that. You fear the Lord. Because the Lord affects you eternally. Look, our enemies here, even those controlled by our enemy, they can hurt us. They can kill us. But we don't fear them. We don't fear them. And Jesus says that's just misplaced fear. Do not fear those who kill the body. I'm in Matthew chapter 10, 28. But cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then even without the death threats, he just goes, hey, look, it's even simpler than that. If you confess me to other people, guess what? I'm going to confess you. If you deny me to other people, guess what? I'm going to deny you. You get what you give. You get what you give. Church, every single one of us, we're headed. We are where we're headed, and we're headed where we are. It's kind of a crazy dichotomy, but it's true. Turn back to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? Get that in your heart. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Who am I going to be afraid of? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, there's going to be days of trouble. Guess what? He hides you in His shelter. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. We are safe with the Lord. We are safe with the Lord. But I have to trust Him. I have to trust Him. I can't live how they live. I can't live how they live. I can't fear what they fear. I can't fear what they fear. It's the same thing as Leviticus chapter 18. Yeah, I know where you came from. I know the things that you were afraid of. But now you're with the Lord. He's your stronghold. He's your caretaker. He's the one that protects your soul. So verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face to me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Church, the Lord is our light. He is our refuge. He is our salvation. We have no reason to fear. So let's just take a quick inventory. Whatever it is that causes us fear, that it is bigger in your heart than the Lord is. That's a true statement. Doesn't mean that the things that we fear, the things that we worry about, doesn't mean that they're not real. It's just we've made them too real. We've given them too much weight. We've given them too much power. They can still be out here. Can't let them in here. Now think about the things that we fear. Oh, our health. Our physical being. Our health. We fear our health just like that. And Jesus already told us, hey, look, that's all they can take away from you. That's all they got. We fear scarcity of resources. Not going to be enough. There's another psalm that talks about that. You know whose table you eat at? The 23rd? Who prepares your table? The Lord prepares your table. Has the Lord got enough? Yeah, the Lord's got it all. He's got it all. There is no fear of a scarcity of resources. We fear for our children. We feared for them when they were babies because every little sound they made in the crib. You remember those days? What was that? We feared for them when they were babies. And we fear for them when they get a little bit bigger. Guess what? They get bigger. And you got a choice to make. Am I the one that's out them when they're doing their thing? Or is the Lord with them? You know what I learned as a dad to two grown men? I'm not there with them. I cannot protect them. So I had to choose. Am I going to be afraid for everything that everywhere they go and everything they do and all that they get into? Or do I pray? Lord, you protect them. Because you're better than I am. I had to choose. I had to pray. And God answers prayer, doesn't he, Carson? Yes, he does. We fear for our children. We fear our parents. Whew. I mean, when we're younger, we fear, we literally fear them because they're scary. They're big and scary. Guess what? We hit a certain age. We fear for our parents again, don't we? Yep. Different reasons. We come up with all sorts of things to be afraid of. We fear world events. We fear current events. You ever let that get in your heart more than the Word of God? God says, hey, this is how it's going to end. And you and I read a newspaper or hear, some sort of news. And they say, this is how it's going to end. And you and I go, have you heard? That'd be a great response. Thank you, Lord. You just gave that one to me. If someone asks you, hey, have you heard the news? I absolutely have. Jesus Christ died for your sins. That is a fantastic Christian response to someone asking us if we've heard the news. Because how many times, think about it. How many times does someone start it like that? Hey, have you heard? I sure have. I've heard the good news. Jesus Christ died for my sins. Why, what are you here? Oh, yeah, I'm using that this week. That one's a freebie. You take that. We have that. I love it. I love it. We don't fear world events. We don't. It doesn't matter which one's in charge. Newsflash. Neither of them are on your side. I know. I just rock some people's worlds. So I don't look to them. I don't look to them. Why? Because they don't control me. They don't cause me to fear. Church, we fear violence. I fear violence. Chester's footsteps on Wednesday night, and I'm not bragging. I'm confessing to you, I was scared. I was scared. I shouldn't have been. I shouldn't have been. I've been a minister at Sunrise for like 25 years. I've played it out. If, you know, the unspeakable happens, I'm the guy running to that door and doing whatever I got to do to take care of as many of you as possible. I mean, I'm ready for that. I'm prepared for that right here. But I got to be honest with you. I looked up from that prayer about four times going, okay, whoever it is, they stopped before I could see them. Makes me a little nervous. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. You got your list, I got my list. Guess what? None of them come from faith. I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of not having enough. I'm afraid of being afraid. I'm afraid of how I feel. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. We fear so many things, and God says, hey, I'm the Lord, and I say, do not fear. So what are you going to do? You're going to listen to the Lord, or you're going to listen to something else? Colossians chapter 3. I'll finish it up here. Colossians chapter 3. So maybe Psalm 27, maybe that should be a go-to. Maybe that should be written somewhere where we can see it constantly. God is with you. Do not be afraid. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right, church. If you're a believer this morning, if you're a Christian, you died in Christ. It's a done deal. You died in Christ. Your life is hidden with him. You died in Christ. Your life is hidden with him. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to fear. He guards your life. He guards your life. He guards your life. Our life is hidden with him. Hey, show of hands. Anybody going to heaven? Good. A few of us. We trust him for eternity. He wants us to trust him for today. That's what makes no fear a reality. I trust him with my eternal soul. I trust him with the most important thing. All I've got is me. And if he can handle bringing me back from the dead, if this body gives out, if this body does not make it until he appears, and I have to experience that, it's okay. And if I can trust him with that, then I can trust him with today. So I can hear the words of Jesus coming through loud and clear saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. You keep telling them. You keep telling them. Don't let your fear make you silent. Don't make your fear make you quiet. And we all know that feeling. We all know that feeling. We all know that feeling of, do I really want to say something about Jesus? I could change everything. It might make our interactions awkward after this point. I mean, what if it's not received well? What if they're rocky ground? Or what if they get worse? What if they ask me something else? Hey, have you heard about Jesus? No, tell me about him. No one's ever actually said that to me before. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Michael, what do I say about Jesus? Look, if nothing else, get his middle name right, okay? Just get that far, all right? Your life is hidden with him. And he says to us, he says to our hearts, he says to our minds, he says to our souls, he says to us over and over, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For the Lord is God. The Lord is God, and he tells us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That should help. That should help. Because an Apostle Paul, without fear in his life, we saw what he accomplished. A Sunrise Church without fear in our hearts, imagine what we can accomplish. Because fear gets a lot of us inactive. Gets a lot of us kind of withdrawn or self-preservation mode, which is probably the worst. Well, I got to look out for myself because if I don't, yeah, go ahead and finish that heathen statement. So, look, if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a believer, you might need to be afraid. If you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ for your sins, well, that's the gospel. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. He died for our sins. And he calls us to believe and trust in that. He calls us to be born again, to give him our old life in baptism, and to be raised to walk in newness of life all the rest of our days. He calls us not to be afraid, church. We should believe him. We should believe him.